how do you picture Jesus? I mean, maybe one of the pictures that you see behind me is one that you can relate to a little bit more. But what sort of picture do you have in your mind? Now, maybe you grew up and went to church, and there was this one picture of Jesus that was in the Sunday school classroom, and that is kind of the vision that you always come back to. Now, I'd be willing to bet that there have been millions of artist renderings of this man from Nazareth. Yet each picture only catches a small glimpse of one aspect of who he is. Whether the picture you have in mind is of Jesus gently holding a child, maybe teaching them or comforting them, or of a very intent Jesus looking at you straight in the eyes, almost as though he's peering into your soul, it can only picture maybe a small aspect of this incredible man. Whether you view him as the unjust victim of the state, as he's pictured there on the cross, or the glorious King of heaven in triumph, each picture can only give a small snapshot of this incredible man. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine in this time of social media where people Instagram just about every meal that they have, that there's not a single drawing or even a detailed description of the person that many of us would consider the most important figure of history during his lifetime. Near the end of the Gospel of John, the author, the beloved disciple, reflected on how even his Spirit-inspired account of Jesus' life and ministry could not do justice to all that they had experienced. John wrote these words. He said that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And even closer to the end, he said that Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. Now, I don't pretend in our brief time together that I'm going to give you a complete and full picture of Jesus. It's something that we continue to form throughout our lifetimes as we study and as we meet him daily. Yet, I hope that you'll be inspired by his incredible influence, that you will begin to take and run with this incredible picture that we look at, that you will continue to fervently seek to know him better and to love him more. Just a little bit more from our time together. Now, describing Jesus kind of reminds me of the little girl who was drawing a picture in class. And the teacher asked her, "What are you drawing?" And the little girl responded, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher said, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." The little girl says, "Well, they will when I'm done." Picture this. Jesus wasn't born to anything close to what we would picture as royalty. Jesus was born a relative peasant in the first century, born to a working class family like many of you and I. He was born to even a teen mother. He was not wealthy or well known in his time. I mean, you think about some of the famous names that we have. I mean, recently we've lost some pretty major people, performers and that sort of thing in our country. You know, a Muhammad Ali, a prince, were far better known today than Jesus was in his day. In the late 4th century, Alexander the Great had conquered much of the known world. He had cities named after him in faraway countries. Yet centuries after Alexander's conquest, Jesus of Nazareth had barely left his homeland, as far as we can tell. When asked if he was a king by a Roman official, Jesus responded, "My kingdom is not of this world." There were certainly no cities named after him in his days. And if you think about it, Jesus' reputation paled in comparison to the governors and kings of his time. Today, when we read about and when we think about this man, we think about how incredibly important he was, how incredibly important that he is. In our scripture and our worship, we recall how Jesus healed the sick, how he raised the dead, and how he taught us how to live, and how he showed us what God is really like. We recall how Jesus overcame death and the grave, how He opened up the door for us to experience eternal life. But if you were to give out a survey just maybe 100 miles away from where Jesus lived, and you put a list of the most important people in the world, they probably wouldn't even be able to tell you who Jesus was. Yet those who encountered Jesus experienced something incredible. Now, maybe you have one of those stories that you gravitate towards. One of those stories where Jesus connected with someone in Scripture. I mean, maybe it's the woman at the well who was a social outcast. And there she was getting water in the heat of the day when no one else was around. And Jesus met her and spoke to her and treated her with dignity. Or the woman who was caught in adultery, who was brought before in complete shame, that Jesus completely turned on the people that would condemn, turn the tables on the people that would condemn her, the religious people. And He showed her grace and compassion. What are those pictures that you have of Jesus? Of course, my pictures of Jesus tend to gravitate towards those moments where He reaches out to the least and to the outcast. What picture of Jesus reaches out and speaks to you? But not only in Scripture, what if we were only to take a look at Jesus' impact on history? What would we learn about Jesus? Pastor and Christian author John Ortberg wrote a book titled, Who is This Man?, which outlined the ways in which this man, Jesus of Nazareth, transformed our world in just about every discipline that you could think of. And much of what I'm going to share with you in just the next couple of minutes is greatly indebted to his work. He shared that the level of Jesus' impact on this world is difficult to calculate. And Jesus' disciples multiplied his work. As we look back over history and consider Jesus, his influence is incomparable. Jesus and his movement have transformed the world unlike any other human being in all of history. If we were merely to only consider his humanity, we could say that Jesus founded the most influential religious movement that history has ever known. Think about this. Over 2 billion people in the world today call themselves Christians because of the influence of this man. Jesus' teachings have been so influential and embedded into the way we think that you instantly know what a good Samaritan is, or what it means to turn the other cheek without even considering its source. I once heard a story back about when the Soviet Union was in power. Now, there's a communist leader named Nikolai Bukharin who went to a gathering for about an hour, and he was just ridiculing Christians. It was a very atheist government, very atheist whole system, and he was just bashing the Christian faith in just about every way you could imagine. And it was as if he had destroyed the whole structure of Christian belief, as you'd imagine what he said to these people. Then he invited the crowd to ask questions, and one person, a Christian, an Orthodox priest, rose and asked to speak. He turned and shared only 3 words with this crowd. Now, be mindful that these people and their ancestors, prior to the takeover of the communist rule, had been in church for centuries. The liturgy was something that they had ingrained in their hearts and in their minds, that they heard it over and over again. And you probably hear these words that he shared, at least on Easter morning. He simply said, "He is risen." The entire crowd that you would think would have had their faith completely bashed and at the very least be disillusioned, that they would at the very least feel disenfranchised, they all stood up and responded loudly, almost in one voice, "He is risen indeed." The priest said, "He is risen." Everyone responds, "He is risen indeed." The very language that we use, sacred and secular, bear the marks of Jesus. You know, our culture may be more secular today than it was 50 years ago, yet His name, Jesus' name, is still used both in blessings and in curses. And how about Jesus' reputation, just what He stood for? You know, I don't know about you, but I like to consider myself an advocate for the people that don't have a voice. I think it's part of the reason why I got into hospital chaplaincy and why I'm now serving as a chaplain over at St. Mary's. It's connecting with some of the least, some of the people that are at the lowest in their life at times. Christians have long been known as people to speak up for the poor and defenseless. For the people of God, that goes at least all the way back to the Old Testament. But Jesus took this to an even greater degree. When asked if the people should help a Roman soldier go 1 mile as was expected, Jesus didn't lighten the people's burden. Instead, he told them to go with them 2 miles instead. Because the law said go 1 mile. But Jesus said, take the extra step, the extra initiative, to let them know that this is not just out of duty, but this is out of care. When asked if they, Jesus told his followers to pray for those that persecuted them. And Jesus told stories describing how when they cared for the least, that they cared for the Lord himself. In the late 4th century, an emperor who was strongly against the Christian faith, called Julian the Apostate, was frustrated how little his own people, the pagan priests, were doing for their own people during a crisis. And he said these words. He said, "The impious Galileans, the followers of Jesus, support not only their own poor, but ours as well." When there were times of hardship, and you can probably recall this even in recent years, hurricanes come, tornadoes come, who responds? The churches, the Christians. Now, I don't want to pretend that we always get this right, but check this one out. I came across this quote from historian Owen Backey, and I just want you to think about the name of this study that he wrote. It's called When Children Became People. When Children Became People, The Birth of Childhood and Early Christianity. We're not talking about the unborn. We're talking about children being considered people. In his study, he noted that in the ancient world, children usually didn't get named until the 8th day or so, because before that, there was a chance that the infant would be killed or left to die of exposure. Now, most of us don't even... exposure, what is that? They'd simply be left out for the dogs, for the vermin, for whatever to come and consume them, for the elements, for them to be rained on, for the sun to beat upon. Small children, can you imagine? No nourishment whatsoever, just abandoned. Backey also points out how this was especially true for infants that were deformed or of the unpreferred gender. Now, I'm not even going to touch on this, but what do you think the unpreferred gender was at that time? I go back to those stories of Jesus advocating for women, like the woman at the well, these disenfranchised people, and I'm reminded of how much these customs that Jesus started impact us. The custom of exposure changed because a group of people who were followers of Jesus, a man who said, "Let the little children come to me," Jesus valued these people. And so his followers lifted up their cause. Jesus cares for the children. He welcomes them. We should as well. Now, I didn't know about this until I started working at the hospital that I work at. But the hospital that I work at was founded by followers of Jesus, some Franciscan sisters who risked their lives by crossing the seas to care for the health needs of complete strangers who spoke a different language from them. And it's not just St. Mary's. If you ask what is Jesus' influence on medicine and compassion, chances are wherever you have an institution of self-giving for the lonely, and for practical welfare for them. You think of schools, hospitals, hospices, orphanages, for those who will never, ever be able to repay. This probably has its roots in the movement of Jesus. Should we not be inspired as followers of Jesus that the greatest ministries of compassion owe their existence to our leader, to Jesus? Jesus' influence is remarkable. One historian said it this way. He said, regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. If it were possible with some sort of super magnet to pull up every scrap of metal bearing at least a trace of his name, how much would be left? Jesus of Nazareth was the most important, the most influential person that this world has ever known. And if he had not been born, the world today would be diminished in every way you can imagine. Every discipline owes Jesus a great deal of gratitude for his influence. Did you know that for many centuries, the only institutions in Europe for the acquisition, preserving, and transmitting of knowledge were monasteries? And they didn't just preserve Christian texts, but pagan texts like Plato and Aristotle that we still look to for thinking about how society works and things like that. It was done in monasteries. Literally, so much knowledge that we have today is due to the influence of Jesus and his followers. When it comes to the development of the sciences, Alfred North Whitehead said, "What is it that made it possible for science to emerge in the human race? It is the medieval insistence on the rationality of God." Where do you think that came from? It came from their Christian heritage. They believed there was an order and structure to the world because God had invested purpose in his creation. And it's not like none of this could have happened necessarily without the Christian influence. Maybe it could have. But as we look back over history, there's only one time that this occurred. Dinesh D'Souza says, science is an organized religion, organized sustained enterprise arose only once in human history, in Europe, in the civilization then called Christendom. And I could literally go on all day about the influence of Jesus, what he has done, his impact on this world, every single discipline that we can imagine. How do you measure the influence of a man like this? I mean, think about it. Can you imagine a world without Jesus? If the carpenter from Galilee had simply not changed careers, if he had never entered ministry, the things we read about in the New Testament, the teaching of God being like a father, awaiting the return of his wayward children, this idea that God loves us so compassionately that he would be waiting on us with open arms for us, the sacrificial ministry on the cross, the resurrection from the dead, the church, any church, so many ministries of compassion would not exist without the influence of this man. Kings have come and gone. Rulers of great civilizations are but a footnote in our history books. Yet the world knows, even today, the name of Jesus and his followers. When you say the Apostle Paul or John or Peter, people immediately know who you're talking about. Yet Augustus Caesar or Herod or Nero, who were all incredibly well-known in their day, are often only studied in reference to Jesus and his followers. The influence of Jesus of Nazareth cannot adequately be calculated. It is so extreme, so huge over our world. And I hope as we've considered just a small way in which his impact has kind of echoed out into so much of the rest of the world, that I hope today that your picture of Jesus has expanded just a little, and that his influence will continue to inspire you to see him as bigger than maybe you have recently. Jesus was a man of tremendous historical importance who continues to inspire us today. But he is so much more than simply that. Paul tells us that Jesus is the Son who bears the image of the invisible God. He tells us that Jesus is the firstborn above all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that Jesus is the resurrected one who will come to set all things right. Jesus is our greatest source of hope. Jesus is our leader. He is the forgiver of our sins. He is our Savior. Jesus is our light and salvation. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is our teacher. He is our model. He is the embodiment of grace and love. And Jesus has not left us alone. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is the resurrected and ascended one. Jesus is the one that will carry us through the storms of life. And He is the one who has blessed us with others to continue to persevere in this walk with Him. Jesus is all of this, and He is so much more. Jesus is my inspiration. I hope and pray that Jesus continues to be your inspiration as well. That you would look back over your life, that you would see His care, that you would see His love, that you would see His impact, His influence over your life. And my simple challenge for you today is to simply continue to be inspired by Him. There's so much going on in this world that can make us lose sight, that can encourage us to lose sight of all of who He is. We can get lost in tradition. We can get lost in the criticism. We can get lost in so much that this world can throw at us in our faith. And yet, in the midst of that, I want us to draw back to the man from Galilee. I want us to draw back to who He is. Always be inspired by Jesus. Leaders may fail us. Institutions may fail us. Yet Jesus will remain constant who He is. Come back to Him. Draw back your mind back to focused attention on who He is. Allow Him to continue to inspire you with hope. Do not lose it. For He is our greatest hope. We will always continue to come back to Him and find inspiration. He is the one who will not disappoint. He is the one who will be there through to the end for us. The one who again and again has delivered on His promises that He will not give up on us or this world. So my challenge for you is to continue to find the incredible wonder that is Jesus. Amen. Now at this time, as is the custom here, I want to invite you to come forward. If you are at a place where you'd like to make some sort of decision to follow Christ. Now, if you'd like to follow Him, simply to say, you know what, this is my first time to really consider who Jesus is. And I want to make a commitment to follow Him today. That in some way, I want to make Him say that He is the Lord of my life and to follow Him because He's just amazing. And I invite you to come forward. If you've come to a place where your life has kind of become in disarray and you want to just come to a recommitment, welcome you to do that as well. If you'd like to join the church, if you're not currently a member, come forward. We'd love to talk with you about that as well. You may come forward at this time.